Yes!
Happy Friday. It is.
It is!
The 8 o'clock hour of the Alex Dono Show, taking you up until 10 o'clock here tonight. I'll be all over these airwaves tomorrow. I don't know how I'm going to accomplish what I need to accomplish tomorrow. I'll be with you guys live tomorrow at 9 a.m. with Doug Plagans for Panthers Insider. Then I've got to haul ass down to Milam's Market, beautiful spot in Coconut Grove, for Hurricanes Countdown to kick off at 11:30. So 4-hour pregame. I'm doing the halftime show, and I'm doing the postgame tomorrow. So clear out your schedules. I know I have, because I will be all over these airwaves tomorrow. Try to track down Andrew Ivins from Inside the U 24/7. He may be so hot on a recruiting tip right now. We're going to get Andrew's probably at a high school game at this moment. But saw something interesting before we go out to the phones. You know, a couple of Heat notes. Heat, by the way, are down in Indiana 50-43 at halftime. I'm looking at Will Manso's beautiful face right now with Ruth Riley Hunter breaking things down on the halftime show. If you're watching that game, tell me that those Indiana Pacers uniforms aren't the ugliest things you've ever seen. Is that their version of the Vice jerseys? Is that their version of the city uniforms? They're wearing these like god-awful bright red tops with yellow shorts. I want to be colorblind. Like I would wish for colorblindness upon myself while I watch Indiana play in those uniforms. That's the reason why they lead in this basketball game. The Heat are blinded by the hideous uniforms. But let's talk to a guy who knows a thing or two about recruiting. Andrew Ivins from Inside the U joins us now on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. So, Andrew, I'm trying to calm the people down. I have a very big Miami Hurricanes focus on my show, so a lot of Hurricanes fans listen. And a lot of people are freaking out about the decommits from the class of 2019. Should fans be panicking about the players that have jumped ship in recent weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you see decommitments, there's going to be some panic from the fan base. And when you've seen you know, two guys that Miami had kind of got on before other schools back off the class, and Marcus Crowley and Cornelius Sutton, it's never a good sign. And then you toss that in with the fact of the losses and then missing out on Braylon Ingraham. It's not good. But I don't really think it's time to panic yet right now. You know, I think Miami, out of the 19 kids they got committed, they probably got 7 or 8 guys that are real solid, and they happen to be their highest-ranked commit. So I don't think it's time to hit panic just yet. There's still some work to be done, but I wouldn't panic just yet.
What are, in the class of 2019, for the players that are still committed and locked in, what area do you think Miami is addressing best, be it, you know, defensive line, linebacker, anywhere? What position group do you think Miami is addressing best with this class?
I would say right now it's just defense in general. I think either 4 of their 5 highest-ranked commits are on defense. I love the defensive end. They got Jafari Harvey out of Vero Beach. I mean, I think he's probably one of the most underrated recruits in the state. You look at Jarvis Brownlee, the cornerback at Carroll City. He's starting to get a bunch of offers now, so that's another kid I really like. And then you got Avery Huss, the linebacker there at Fort Lauderdale. Same time with Aquinas. He's a real athletic guy. So I think they're doing a good job of evaluating defensive talent and making some of these guys who can kind of, you know, I think are better than maybe the stars indicate. I think that's just what Manny wants to do in terms of locking down South Florida.
So, you know, Andrew, you're on social media. You know, you cover the Canes, so I'm sure you see a lot of the criticism towards Mark Richt, towards the play calling. You know, and of course, pointing fingers at the way the offense has performed. I can certainly understand it based on how anemic they've been. But do you think Mark Richt might be even criticized a little bit unfairly based on some of the feedback coming in?
Well, I think obviously his fans on the right frustrated, but at the same time, I think maybe the expectations are a little high after the last week. Maybe the bar was finally a little bit ahead of schedule. I think if you took every bounce line that went Miami played last year, and then you look at this year, every bounce line could go against Miami, not against Miami. So I don't think it's frustrating, especially a quarterback. I mean, we want to know the developing quarterback, and we're in year 2 or year 3 instead of that guy. I get it. I think it's just going to take him some more time to kind of transform that roster into what he wants.
Which game are you at, by the way? I know you're at the state playoffs. Which game are you at?
I'm at Carroll City. I try to get as far away as I can.
How's it going, by the way? Because I know that's a mega game. Obviously, you know, I talk to Larry Bluestein pretty much every day. He is hyping me up for that game so much.
Well, it's 7-7 here in the tied at 7 in the mid-second quarter. So it's a good one. Naquan Wright's moving the ball. Both teams are actually running the ball pretty well. So. And it's absolutely packed here, Trash.
Well, let me get your take. Andrew Ivins from Inside the U is with us. I actually feel pretty good about the Virginia Tech game tomorrow from a Miami perspective. Virginia Tech's defense has just been so bad. Do you think that's a game Miami can and will win tomorrow afternoon?
I think it is. I mean, I know I say this, I said it every week. Eventually one of these ones is going to go this way, and I agree. I mean, for me, Tech's defense is bad. What I've seen out of the past few weeks, they want nothing to do with it. I mean, they've lost so many guys. And if you think a team, a football team broken like Miami, I think those guys are more broken. So I think if Miami can find a way to get a perfect start and get some touchdowns going, I think Miami's defense can make stops. That's really what I think a lot of people are really realizing right now. Miami's defense is playing at a championship level. I know they're 5-5, but if the offense can just score and not put that defense in a bad position, I mean, they're winning way more games.
He's Andrew Ivins. Follow him on Twitter at Andrew_Ivins and check out his work at miami.247sports.com at Inside the U. Andrew, enjoy that game, my friend. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Yeah, you got some good stuff in there. Don't freak out about recruiting. Connection wasn't so great, so I wanted to let him get back to that. But I know we've had some people texting in about how panicked they are about recruiting. So I thought it was important to bring Andrew on and get some perspective on it. And, you know, if you think, oh, well, that guy's just biased towards the Canes, he's not nearly as biased as I am. In fact, I think he's very impartial with the way he covers Miami football. Texter writes in, knowing I'm going to be at Milam's Market tomorrow. I've got to eat lunch at the Milam's Market Deli. Absolutely. In fact, I may try the sushi at Milam's Market tomorrow because our engineer, Tree, Jim Crawford, he ate the sushi last time. It looked really good, so I'm going to try that. But you can verify that, Tito. You know Andrew Ivins. That guy's not biased towards Canes football.
No, he actually, believe it or not, he got on the beat last year, and previous to before that, he was actually covering Notre Dame up in South Bend.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And he's an FAU grad. He also covered the FAU Owls. So, yeah, he doesn't have any really Cane biases.
There you go. So I always appreciate hearing from Andrew Ivins from 247 Sports. A couple things that I've been doing tonight on Twitter, Tito. And by the way, this is the final night to get Tito food takes because this is his last show. Tito is moving to Connecticut in next week, or I guess the week after Thanksgiving. But it's the final time I will be working with you. So we are wishing Tito farewell tonight. Tito, you saw what I did before the show. I tweeted out an honest opinion. I only drop truth bombs on Twitter. I never lie on Twitter. I may lie at other points in life. I never lie on Twitter. I find sweet potatoes to be overrated. Doesn't mean I hate them. Again, like you can say, oh, why does Dono hate sweet potatoes? Like, it's not terrible. If you offer me a sweet potato fry or a sweet potato tot, I'm not going to turn it away. But I will always take a regular French fry, curly fry, whatever, over a sweet potato fry. I will always take a regular tot over a sweet potato tot. I'm really not a fan of sweet potato casserole. I don't think sweet potatoes and marshmallows go that great together.
Yeah, it's blasphemous, man. Sweet potato casserole is absolutely delicious. It's a Thanksgiving staple, might I add, which we were talking about before the show. What are some Thanksgiving staples? And that's even more controversial. But sweet potato, to me, yeah, you are right. The traditional French fry still does defeat it. However, I do think it is an alternative that is enjoyable. Now, as far
an alternative, though, because that's one of the things. When I posted that on Twitter, how I think sweet potatoes are overrated, one of the most common responses I got was, oh, well, they're really healthy. Well, okay, so if you are going to concede flavor because you make yourself feel good because you think you're eating something healthy, that's not my point here. Would you take a sweet potato fry over a regular fry if you weren't thinking, oh, I'm making a health-conscious choice?
Nah, I go regular French fry all day, but sweet potato fry, if they have the option, it's definitely something to explore. But my thing is, right? I don't think it's more so overrated. I think it maybe it's overhyped.
Overhyped, okay. I could see that.
Because I think it's properly rated, but it is overhyped. Like, people talk about sweet potato fries to a degree which I don't think it should be.
Yeah, I will take a good regular fry. Plus, a lot of places will charge you extra for sweet potato fries. So you're telling
extra, yeah.
So you're telling me, not only do you want me to eat an inferior tasting fry, I got to pay an extra $1.25 for this. It's absolute madness. What do you think are the five staple foods for Thanksgiving? There are two ways for me to answer that question. Number one, I can go like Family Feud style and say, well, these are the most popular answers on the board. Or two, I can give you my opinion on staple Thanksgiving foods. I'll give you an example. Every Thanksgiving, we eat lasagna. My father makes an excellent lasagna, and he uses the good bechamel sauce. You don't use ricotta. That's not really Italian. I think it's like very, I think maybe in Sicily they use that.
Wait,
nowhere
it's
else.
Not?
It might be Italian, but it's not. They don't put it in lasagna.
Oh, good, because I don't like ricotta.
Yeah, no, like you get like the white sauce, the bechamel sauce is really what you use for lasagna.
That looks good, honestly.
I think only in Sicily do they use the ricotta cheese. I don't think you use that in like any other part of Italy. So we have the good lasagna. You know, we do have turkey, but it's more symbolic, right? Like take a piece of turkey, it's Thanksgiving, you have to. But I think this year we're also having steak and ribs on Thanksgiving. Stuffing, I do enjoy. I do enjoy cornbread. I enjoy that. So to me, those are Dono Thanksgiving staples. But if I think I'm going to give you the most popular answers on the board, obviously turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes are up there, sweet potato casserole. I don't like it, but it's on every Thanksgiving table. And then for the final one, would you go with cranberry sauce? Would you go with cornbread? You brought up to me, Tito, that your family eats mac and cheese on Thanksgiving.
It's a staple, Dono.
I don't know if it is.
I think it is. We should ask the people.
I love mac and cheese, but is that a Thanksgiving staple? Because I don't think I'd ever heard that.
It's 1,000%. It would infuriate me if I ever arrived at a Thanksgiving.
Don't come to my house.
Dono, of all people should have mac and cheese at your Thanksgiving?
Hold on. If you come to my house, you're going to find lasagna and steak, so you're probably pretty well off.
I'm going to tell you, you must have had some fantastic Thanksgivings with like non-traditional Thanksgiving foods. Have you ever had pizza on Thanksgiving?
No, because it's not really something that can be made properly at home unless you've got a Neapolitan oven, and we don't.
Can I just, full disclosure,
yeah.
I when I was in middle school, I once had McDonald's for Thanksgiving.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
There had to have been a story behind that.
I was just not in the mood for any of the food that I saw at my house that day, and my father drove me to McDonald's, and he got me some chicken McNuggets.
Man, your dad's kind of a pushover. because honestly, like,
I think he just wanted me to stop.
Yeah, no, he's like, I always say he's probably a lovely man, but I only say that because if I ever did that, and you're like, you're not even talking about like 3 years old, like middle school, so you're just a moody teenager.
I would say I was like, yeah, like fifth, sixth grade, probably.
So you were like a moody 12-year-old, moody 11, 12-year-old, and if I had like done that, if I'm 11, 12 years old, and I look my father in the face and I say, you know what? I'm really not feeling this amazing, plentiful spread that you have provided on this blessed Thanksgiving day. You've spent the last 12 hours, well, actually, in my father's case, probably the last 12 days preparing this menu, preparing this feast that sits before me. I don't feel like any of this food is satisfactory for the current mood that I'm in. Can you please drive me to McDonald's so I can get some McNuggets and do that for my, I probably would have gotten a slap in the face. Like if not a literal slap in the face, the look in my father's eyes, I would realize he just died a little bit inside. Like his heart just broke when I told him this. I don't think I could have ever pulled that off.
I mean, yeah, I feel bad about it now because it's the only time I've ever done it on Thanksgiving. But yeah, it was definitely one of my low points in my food days.
I once ate Chinese on Christmas.
What?
Well, there's a story behind that, though. I wasn't at my parents' house, so my father wasn't providing the awesome spread. This was 11, 12 years ago. I was dating just this horrible, horrible, horrible person that I wasted like 18 months of my life. It's a whole nother story. But I was with her out of town visiting her family, you know, in Pensacola. Her mom was a terrible cook. I don't even think she had like prepared.
Sounds like just an overall bad time.
Just a terrible time. But I think her mom was going to prepare like dinner like way later in the day. But I had nothing to eat for lunch. So I told my girlfriend, and her brother was also there. I know Chinese is open because that's what people who are of different faith do on Christmas. They eat Chinese food. We got to find the best Chinese food in Pensacola. There's a problem with that. All the Chinese food in Pensacola is awful, right? I think I found the highest rated Chinese buffet in Pensacola. I ate it. Didn't feel good about it. It was pretty disgusting. But yeah, I did once do Chinese on Christmas. It was nothing to write home about in my case. 56022 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. You can get in via the phone lines at 305-567-0560. Ooh, someone did text in. Mac and cheese is a must for Thanksgiving. I love mac and cheese. I just did not realize that was considered a Thanksgiving staple food.
Mac and cheese is just so delicious. Now, and
it is. I just didn't know that that was something people ate on Thanksgiving.
Just hope nobody, you know, disgraces mac and cheese by putting ketchup on it. How dare they?
Was it just my family, or do other families eat calamari on Thanksgiving? Because we do that sometimes.
Whoa, I've never heard of that. That's like a curveball.
I'm going to on Twitter next week. I don't know if my father has made the menu yet. If he's listening, text me the menu, because sometimes he does listen. If you're listening, text me the Thanksgiving menu, because every year he'll text it to me on WhatsApp. It's weird because, like, my dad has a texting plan. He lives locally, yet he sends me all of the text messages on WhatsApp. Isn't that only something you do if you're in, like, another country? Because the only reason why I have WhatsApp on my phone is that my sister is currently living in the island of Cyprus. I've never been there. It's somewhere between Greece and Israel. It's way out there, man. So we have WhatsApp downloaded so my sister can send me messages, pictures of her kids. I send her pictures of my kid. It's a whole adult love fest there. We're adulting every day. But my father, who lives like 6 miles away from me, has a local cell phone plan, sends me messages only on WhatsApp. I thought that was only something you did in other countries.
Save money, man.
I guess so. Maybe he doesn't have the unlimited texting plan like I do. The Alex Dono Show continues next here on QAM. Radio.com.
Radio.com.
Les Miles, new head coach at Kansas. That just feels all sorts of wrong. It's weird. Like, I know that he had a pretty messy falling out at LSU, but, man, you feel like Les Miles could do better than Kansas football. I mean, Les Miles was at LSU, won a national title. While he was at LSU, he was linked to the Michigan job, among other things. How the mighty have fallen. Les Miles is taking his coaching talents to Kansas. I almost feel like, well, why even bother at that point? Les Miles to Kansas. If you'd like to get in tonight, share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines, 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560, #560 on your cell. You can text us on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line at 56022, but please don't text and drive. Pacers on top of the Miami Heat, 61-58, about 5 minutes to go in the third quarter there at the Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Is that? Yeah, that's still the name of the arena. Remember when it used to be Conseco Fieldhouse for many years. Interesting Heat notes from Barry Jackson. Pat Riley is still the man. This great anecdote, Pat Riley and LeBron James. With LeBron James Lakers playing the Heat in Miami on Sunday. And by the way, we'll talk about what a hot ticket that is. Regular season basketball, who would have thought? Any prickly feelings between James and President Pat Riley have seemingly dissipated more than 4 years after James left the Heat to return to Cleveland. When author Ian Thompson was working on his new book, The Soul of Basketball, the epic showdown between LeBron, Kobe, Doc, and Dirk that saved the NBA, Thompson said Riley agreed to speak with him only on the condition that he give James a heads up. That is classy. So Ian Thompson, as told on a podcast with ESPN Zach Lowe, said he approached James and told him, Pat Riley wanted me to say something. James then, according to Thompson, had a nervous chuckle and said, I'm listening. I can imagine that nervous chuckle. Like, LeBron hadn't spoken to Pat since, you know, he took his talents back to Cleveland. Pat, you know, indirectly ripped him with the smiling faces and hidden agendas. I can put myself in LeBron's shoes for a second. I can't really put myself in LeBron's shoes in many occasions in life. But in that second, I can and say, wow, nervous chuckle is probably the same way that I would react. So LeBron reacted with a nervous chuckle and said, I am listening. I told him about the book. I said, Thompson said, quote, Pat is going to talk to me for it. And he would only talk to me if I told you myself. And he wanted you to know he's not looking to give you any crap. LeBron nodded and said, Pat's great. Pat's great. We left it at that. Pat hadn't spoken a word to him since he left. So LeBron, still respect for Pat Riley after all that. So Heat and Lakers on Sunday. This is pretty amazing. And also like a 6 degrees of separation thing, because I remember when this guy used to do radio call-ins and a lot of advertising. Barry Jackson writes, Tickets of America's Michael Lipman said he sold two courtside seats for $12,000 apiece for Sunday's game. Most ever for a regular season Heat game. He declined to disclose the identity of the buyers. Imagine that for a second. What kind of bleep you money do you have to say, okay, regular season game coming up on Sunday, Heat are below 500. So it's not like you're talking about some great clash of the Titans, right? Like, you're not talking about a late season game, Heat are going for the one seed. They're probably on their way to the NBA Finals. You're talking about a below 500 Heat team, home game on a Sunday in November, hosting, yeah, LeBron James and the Lakers. But $12,000 a pop for courtside seats?
No thanks.
Like, and obviously no thanks. I mean, for you and me, like, that we'd empty out our life savings and then some, right? They'd run up a massive credit card bill to do that. But I can only imagine what kind of FU money you've got to have in your bank account to say, regular season, check. Courtside seats, check. 24K for a pair, check. I won't even notice the money's gone, right? I mean,
LeBron doesn't suit up either. How much of a waste is that?
Yeah, he never seems to suit up when he visits Miami. Although I feel like he might be kind of over that at this point. Like now that he's two stops away from Miami, I feel like there's less discomfort on his side. Because I always felt like for him it was awkward coming back here when he was back in Cleveland. But now that he's left Cleveland for L.A., it's like you're two stops removed. I feel like he will play Sunday.
Do you think, like, Heat fans, because obviously I think we've discussed this before, but is that over with? Like, are Heat fans generally over the LeBron, you know, issue, I guess, that he left?
That's a great question, because
I think I am. I've been over it.
And I hadn't been over it, but I think at this point I'm like 90% over it, right? To me, it was like, it wasn't just the fact that he left. It wasn't just the fact that he left Riley at the altar, you know, when he called Riley out for that meeting in Las Vegas. I didn't like the fact that he had to go back to Cleveland. Like, with the way Cleveland fans trashed us for 4 years, and with this weird sense of entitlement that they had with LeBron, he's the reason why I talk so much crap about the city of Cleveland. It's all about LeBron James and the awkwardness, the jersey burning, saying, oh, Miami doesn't even deserve this guy. That created a lot of hard feelings in me, because I'm born and raised in this city. Only I can complain about this city, not you. If you're in Cleveland, I can complain about the traffic on the Palmetto. I can complain about how expensive it is to live here, right, about my property taxes and my mortgage being very high, and people in Cleveland have to pay virtually nothing to live in that crap city.
Specifically the traffic.
I can complain about those things, but you can't if you're from Cleveland. Don't talk about my city like that. Don't say that my city doesn't deserve a generational player. Don't utter that nonsense from your mouth. So yeah, like I do feel in a way less bitter, less petty towards LeBron now that he's two stops removed. And I'll be honest with you, Tito, I don't think I'd given that a thought until you asked me that question. Weird. Like I followed LeBron's free agency over the summer. You know, I was totally ready to point the finger and laugh at Cleveland for losing him. But really, until right now, I hadn't even given it a thought that, yeah, I'm feeling a lot less petty and a lot less bitter about LeBron James today than I was in June when he was still a Cleveland Cavalier. It's weird. Absolutely not. Never, a texter writes. I think they're talking about not giving up their pettiness. Heat Nation is going to be insane and dominate King James like every time he comes to Miami. If he even plays, like Tito said. Heat games are the best atmosphere in South Florida sports, and especially near courtside. Well, whoever's texting that in, I hope you can afford a courtside ticket, because I certainly can't. I certainly can't put down $12,000 to sit next to the Lil Wayne or whoever's going to be there this weekend. I can't do that. I can't sit next to Flo Rida. I can't sit next to Pitbull. I can't drop down that kind of change. Keeping your budget parameters in mind, what's the most you would pay to go to a sporting event? If you feel like, I can't miss this one, you know, it's a big playoff game, or like USF's in the college football playoff. I know that, that's your alma mater, so I had to bring that up. Like, what's the most you would pay where you could say, you know what, I'm going to really take a bath here budget-wise. This is going to set me back a few months. It's going to be hard to recover from this, but this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. YOLO, I've got to be there. I've got to plop down money for this ticket. What's the most you would pay?
I don't know, because like you said, depending on the parameters of it, if one of my teams is in it and it's a highly contested playoff matchup, I spent like $300 for nosebleeds for game six.
Really?
2013. Yeah, I spent $300 for nosebleeds.
Like standing room only or 400 no, level?
400 level.
Okay.
Like up in the nosebleeds, but it was worth it. If it was like the Dolphins in the Super Bowl, man, I'd probably drop like somewhere like 500. I'd take it.
It's weird. It's like, maybe this is because they have just mediocred the fan out of me. Like if you told me, Dono, you can either pay $3,000 a ticket, we'll fly you out to the Super Bowl, whatever it is, watch the Dolphins play, I'd say, you know what? I'm good watching it at home on the big screen.
In the Super Bowl?
It's weird.
Like, wow.
But if you also told me Miami Hurricanes, you know, they've won their first college football playoff game. They're playing in the national title. We don't have a media pass for you. The press row is already booked up, but I can get you a ticket for a couple grand. I'd probably spring for that.
Yeah.
I would.
Canes are in the national championship. I'm dropping whatever it takes.
Canes are in the natty. Because, you know, and listen, I'm privileged to have watched the Canes win 4 out of their 5 national titles. I wasn't quite born when they won the first one in 83, but I've been able to watch them win 4 out of their 5 titles. Not in person, right? But I've been able to see it happen on television. I've been able to witness it. I would still be willing to part ways with quite a bit of cash to see it happen in person. Like if you told me, you know, somewhere in Europe, you fly me out there, put me up, but I would have to pay $3,000 to watch Inter in a Champions League final, I don't think I would say no to that opportunity. I think I would be down for that. I think I would do that.
I think the soccer component would be specifically more expensive, though, right? Like the soccer ticket to Inter in the Champions League final, or for me, Man City in the Champions League final.
That might actually happen. I don't see Inter in the Champions League final. Man City, decent chance they get there.
Right, but like that ticket is probably over 10,000, right?
I don't know. It's weird because like if you go to like, you know, and Champions League final is a whole different thing. Like that's, you know, an event. Like if you go to like a regular game, Even like a Manchester Derby or a Milan Derby, they're actually better priced than a lot of American sporting events. Like they, like in Europe, just the culture of going to games is different. Like the prices are a little bit more controlled. They don't really believe in pricing out fans the way that we do over here, but that might be different for a Champions League final. Like that's a neutral site stadium. It's a set in stone event. That might be different. You're right. That might be a super expensive ticket. You guys are the only ones that would pick a Canes national championship game over a Dolphins Super Bowl. You're crazy. I'm not saying I don't want the Dolphins to win a Super Bowl. Hold on, like slow your roll on that one. Like I'm not telling you I wouldn't care about the Dolphins winning a Super Bowl. I'm just telling you that if I'm going to go support the team in person, I'd be more likely to do that if it's a Hurricanes national title game. The Alex Dono Show continues. We got clickbait coming up a little bit later on. Also, kind of on the note of what we were talking about with tickets and stadiums, had a listener, Abe, suggest me, I think it was over the weekend, a top three list idea. And I hadn't done a top three list since last week, since I've had a lot of shortened shows this week. You know, we've had Panthers hockey, Canes basketball. I only tend to do the top three list when we have like a full length show. So Tito, kind of on this note that we're talking about, if you win the lottery, if money is not an issue, right? And you could go attend a game at any three stadiums in the world. So you can open it up globally. And we're not saying like a specific like Man City in a Champions League final, but if you can go to Etihad Stadium to go catch a game like a Manchester Derby, something you know happens every year, right? Or if you can go to Wrigley to watch a Cubs game. Money is not an object. You're a lottery winner. You're independently wealthy. Any three stadiums, you could go to catch a game. What are your top three? Anywhere in the world, right? So don't cop out and say, well, you know, Hard Rock Stadium looks pretty good right now. Like, anywhere in the world, money is not an object. Could be a soccer stadium overseas. Yeah, could be Marlins Park on Calle Ocho, Arcolores. Money is not an object. Any three stadiums you would want to catch a game in. Maybe it's Lambeau for the Packers. Maybe it's, what's another iconic venue? Like Fenway to catch your Red Sox game. Yankee Stadium. 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. We wrap up the 8 o'clock hour next. Radio.com. Radio.com. Some good suggestions coming in for bucket list stadiums people would love to catch a game in. Money's not an object. You're a lottery winner. You're independently wealthy. Maybe some of you are anyway. How about this one? Pakistan versus India in cricket. That is like, no, that's like one of the biggest sports rivalries in the world. Those two countries hate each other's guts. They're both obsessive about cricket. So that's got to be up there. I might fear for my safety, though, if I went to that game. But that's a good one. Somebody wants to catch a game at CenturyLink Field in Seattle. Yeah, be part of that 12th man. You know, I think he's on to something there. I've never been to a game in that stadium. I have spent a little time in Seattle. I see how passionate that fan base is for the Seahawks. They love the Seattle Sounders there as well. Pretty passionate sports fan base for some of the teams that are in town there. And that is a cool stadium, and it's one of the loudest stadiums in the world. Anfield, texter writes, it's where Liverpool plays. Although he wrote Ansfield. I'm assuming he meant Anfield. Wrigley is beyond overrated, a texter writes. And I've never been there. I wouldn't know that. I mean, wouldn't it be like catching a game at Wrigley, though? Wouldn't it be more about the experience being amongst the Cub fans, taking part in the take me out to the ball game thing, being around, that street where they have all the bars?
Yeah, it's fun. I actually just knocked that one off my
bucket list.
Yeah, I knocked that off the bucket list this past year.
So do you agree with the texter that Wrigley is beyond overrated?
I wouldn't say it's overrated. It's definitely fun. But if we're limiting this to like top three things in the world, it's probably more top five, top 10 than it is top three. But so in that rate, I guess it is overrated. But in general, no.
Staples Center sitting next to Jack Nicholson at a Lakers game would be epic. Oh, I mean, just to sit next to Jack Nicholson anywhere, right? At a bar stool or at a Lakers game would be awesome.
How old is Jack Nicholson?
Oh, he's got to be, look him up, but my guess would be he's got to be, I'm going to go 75. That's my guess. I know he's getting up there.
You were short.
Short. It was 77?
81.
81? Jack Nicholson? Dear God.
Yeah, man.
How is he that old? Well, you know, it's like, it's weird how time flies by faster and faster the older I get. Like, it feels like The Departed was made like 2 years ago, but I think that movie came out in 2006. He was already older than dirt when that movie came out. Jeez. Texter writes, Tottenham's new stadium when it opens. Another one. I like this one. Would have been Freedom Hall before the KFC Yum Center opened. My father played at Louisville. How about that? Or Canes game at Hard Rock Stadium. Just based on the area code, I know that person's not from here, so I can see why they would say Canes game at Hard Rock Stadium. We can do, those who live here can do that anytime. Cameron Indoor, I like that. Well, let's go to the phones. 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. Let's talk to our pal, Gordo. You're on QAM. What's up, Gordo?
I tell you, that $12,000, that's big O money right there, huh?
I'm guessing. I'm guessing.
Probably worked out a nice little severance package for himself, a little golden parachute as he left the QAM.
I'm guessing you. I know you're a season ticket holder. You probably pay less than $12,000 a pop, right?
I don't. Well, I haven't been enough seats. We still have to coordinate that all.
Yeah,
thing, but
okay.
I don't
yeah,
even worry about e-ticket.
Tito, I don't know if you're here when we decided this. I am going to go to a game.
Yeah,
with
you.
Yeah,
I gotta get some dates. You said week. Days are no good, right?
Yeah, weekdays are no good. Yeah. just because you know, I don't want to use like a sick day just to go to a game.
Well, you're taking calls from clowns like me, you know, bitching about Justice Winslow. I mean, I just seriously, I want to know what was going on in the brain trust in that room in American Airlines Arena when they said, you know what, let's pay a guy 3 years, $39 million, who turns the ball over,
that
can't use his right hand. Cannot use his right hand. Never learned how to use his right hand at Duke. They couldn't teach him. They could not teach him how to use his right hand to shoot right-handed layups at Duke. Couldn't figure out how to do it with the Heat now. He can't shoot at all. Let's give him a multi-year $39 million contract. I really want to know why.
It's because they're still building this team like it's 1996, right? It's all about defense. It's all about slowing down the pace of play, although they are trying to play faster this year.
But
it's all about size, and it's all about defense. No, and in today's game, Gordo, as we know, you need guys who can hit threes. You need guys who can score.
Why? So why do they keep playing him? I want to know. You know, listen, I love Spoelstra, but, you know, I keep saying to myself, is he playing these guys because he's looking at salaries and he's saying, I got to play Tyler Johnson? I mean, I know, like, Wade's out right now, so they got to play some guys, but I couldn't. Let me tell you something. I try watching this game. I can't watch it. This is the most. I know that they're like scoring. They're awful. This team is so boring to watch.
When they're down 13 now, Pacers up 90.
Watch it.
Yeah.
You can just predict when they're going to lose. They're going to lose. I mean, this is an awful team that they put together. And I know that Deion Waiters is sitting there waiting. I know that James Johnson. But is that really going to make a difference? I mean, maybe a little bit, but. I mean, I just, this Justice Winslow thing, I don't know what it is with me and this guy. I just don't.
Which I would like to know, because I do like it when we can get positive notes from Gordo.
You know what really, really bugs me at the Justice Winslow thing? Is
what?
From what I had heard, they never scouted the guy before they drafted him.
They didn't bring him in for a workout. They scouted him, but they never actually brought him in for a workout.
They didn't bring him in. That happened to, you know, and they were like, well, he's there at our pick. Let's take him. Of course, he's from Duke. But, I mean...
Well, let me ask you, you're bringing a lot of negativity. It's Thanksgiving season. I want to close out on a high note. Which team in South Florida do you feel best about right now? You've got the Miami Heat. You've got the Miami Marlins, who just unveiled new colors, new uniforms. You've got the Miami Dolphins. You've got Miami Hurricanes football. They're about to be bowl eligible if they win one more game. You got the Florida Panthers, who, you know, they got shellacked last night, but they had won five games in a row before that.
I couldn't name you two players on the Marlins. I couldn't name you any player on the Panthers.
Gordo, the Victor brothers, man. We just signed them.
You got Victor Jr. on the Marlins. I mean, it's so easy. All you have to do is say the name Victor. That's like three guys right there.
Right, exactly.
I, I live in Miami. Let me just say right now. I live in Miami Beach. I live down. I live in, you know, there's not. I live in the heart of Miami-Dade County. There's not one person down this area that can tell you anything about the Florida Panthers. For all intents and purposes, they play in Naples or in Fort Myers, and no one knows. No one knows.
They're about 15 minutes from Naples. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so the reality is this: who's in the best shape? You know, I think when you look at management, I would always say the Heat because
yeah.
You know, you figure they turn it around.
I agree.
But some of these moves and some of these signings have just been awful, absolutely terrible moves that are just like out of desperation. That, you know, I don't know. I think you probably still have to say the Heat. I mean, just the Dolphins are just a disaster.
Let me let you run. Enjoy the rest of the game.
Bye.
Hey, Gordo. Hey, I thought we can get some optimism out of Gordo to close it out. I thought he would finally show some love for the Florida Panthers. He's not a hockey fan.
Victor, man.
Yeah, Victor, and Victor Jr. Two guys are right there. 9 o'clock hour of the Alex Downer Show coming up.